going off around my neighborhood. I know not all my neighbors were happy, but I sure enjoyed it. It did feel a little bit, or maybe more than a little bit, like a certain sense of rebellion by people who are just tired of it all, or even a little bit of a political statement in a way. I don't want to go too far down that road, but it did feel that way a little bit, like, you know, we're still a free country. Now, throughout the past, I don't need to tell you, right? Throughout the past few weeks, there's been a lot going on in the United States of America around the conversation of race. And a lot of these conversations are pretty intense. Some of them get angry. Some of them difficult. A lot of them are conversations we need to be having. Race relations have a long history in the United States of America. And despite the tone of the conversation as it is so often, not everything about race relations in the United States of America is a bad story. There are lots of good stories along the way and an imperfect history of race relations in America, and they come from all different corners of America's daily life, whether it's business, whether it's politics, whether it's hobbies, whether it's sports. And so I was really not just pleased, but I tremendously enjoyed an article that I read in the Denver Post yesterday by Kyle Newman, and the headline is, "As the Negro Leagues Celebrate Its Centenary, a Look at How Denver Was Integral in Erasing Baseball's Color Line." And this goes way, way back, way before Jackie Robinson. having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, glad to. Really cool story. We'll get that up on the blog in a little bit. Coming up next,
side, we put it on this side. Look at the keeper and the screen at the same time. Okay. Okay. All right. We mentioned last week that we started with Ovadia because technically, from a chronological point of view, there's a very good chance that Ovadia was the first. I couldn't really figure out where to go from there, so I decided not so randomly to pick Micha this week. Micha is probably not one of the, might even not be one of the top 10 of the Treyasar. But Micha got to go this week because Micha has one Haftorah in it, and that is the Haftorah for last week, correct? So it was last week's Haftorah. Now, we are not going to be able to do this much longer going forward because this week we begin the Gimel de Paranusa, the three sad Haftorahs, and that is followed by the Zayin de Nechemta, which means that the next 10 weeks are Yirmiyah and or Yeshaya, and with that, and none of those fall into the Treyasar. So from here on in, this is our last opportunity. So I figured we'd pick up Micha at this week. There's very, very little we know about Micha, surprisingly enough. Usually, most of what we learn about the Navi comes in the introduction in the first pasuk. And we do get a little bit of an introduction here. We see here, if you look at number one, for those who have sheets, Devar Hashem Ashayu El Micha Hamorashti B'Yemei Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyo Macha Yehuda Asher Chaza Al Shomron B'Yerushalayim. So the introduction we get is that we don't even get his father's name. That is very rare. We don't even know anything. We don't know what his father's name is. We don't know where he comes from, what Shevet he's a member of. We do get a little bit of chronology. We do get an understanding of when he spoke. That is during the reigns of Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. We'll give you a little chart afterwards. We'll look at it and see what it is. And we also know that, remember, this is the time, all of this is the time when there are two different dynasties, two different monarchies in Israel. There's the northern monarchy and the southern one. And it says here that he, in fact, spoke to both of them. The northern kingdom is known as Shomron. That was the capital of the northern kingdom, the Malchus Yisrael. And Yerushalayim, of course, is the capital of the Malchus Yehuda, of the southern kingdom. If you look, that's a good question. Odds are it means he comes from the city of Morasha. That's how it's generally assumed, right? There's not 100% agreement on where that city exactly is. But the idea, like Eliyahu HaTishbi, we assume that means that he comes from, that's the name of his city. So to Morashti, he's one of Anu B'nai Morasha, that he is from the city of Morasha. If you take a look, just to give you an idea in the chronology of things, where it is. So he said that he is the king of the times of Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. So if you look here, this is a chart of the kings of Israel. At least it's part of a chart. The left side are the Malchei Yehuda. The right side are the Malchei Yisrael. So you see Yotam, or Yosam, as it says on this one, Achaz and Chizkiyahu are the kings at the time of the very end of the 10 tribes. Meaning that it was during the time of Chizkiyahu that the 10 tribes went into exile. So clearly, to the extent that he was talking to the Northern Kingdom, that would have to be earlier in his career as a Navi. The numbers on the left are the amount of years that they remained king. So, for example, you'll see that Uzziah, let's just take the top one, was the king from 3115 to 3167. So that indicates he was the king for 52 years. Next, Yosam from 3167, he went until 3183, that is 16 years. So the left side is the amount of times that the kings in Yehuda ruled. The right side is the amount of time that the kings in Yisrael ruled.
And the little numbers about the connection.
Those are footnotes. And we'll see, actually, when it comes to the footnotes of Uzziyahu and Yosam, we'll see, I'm not giving you the footnote, but I'll tell you what it says because it's relevant to us. So this is the time of the Nevuah, and this happens to be a very busy time. Micha is not the only Navi in these days, but in fact, he overlaps with several other Nevi'im. Famously, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, when it talks about Hosea is, of course, technically the first of the Trei Asar, and we will obviously have to get them. He's arguably the most major of the Trei Asar. So it says, "Devar Hashem Asher Haya El Hosea Bimei Uzziyahu Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu." So again, opening pasuk, he tells him when it happens, and note there's a lot of overlap here. Right? We said that the Nevuah of Micha was Yotam Achaz of Chizkiyahu, Hosea was, started a little earlier, Uzziyahu, and those three as well. Gesundheit. So therefore, the Gemara says, the Perek Echad Nisnabu Arba Nevi'im. Altogether at once, there were four Nevi'im who were giving Nevuah. And who were they? Well, first it says, the Gadol Shebekulam Hosea. Hosea was the greatest. Shenemar Tchilas Dvar Hashem BaHosea. That the Tchilas, the first thing that God talks to is Hosea. B'chi Hosea Dibra Tchila. Is he really the first of the Nevi'im? Right, we actually mentioned this last time. Alomi Moshe and Hosea, common Nevi'im. There are many Nevi'im. Forim, Riochan, Tchila, Arba Nevi'im, Shenisnavu, Arv Chol Perek. He was the first of the four Nevi'im who were, in fact, giving Nevuah at the same time. And who were the four? So we have here, Elohim, Hosea, Yeshaya, Amos, Umicha. So Hosea, Amos, and Micha are three of the Trei Asar. And Yeshaya, of course, right, has his own book, the book of Isaiah, 66 prakim long, right? The Shevin El Chemta, he goes 7 for 7 there. Obviously, this is a major Nevuah. And they all are giving Nevuah at the same time. So therefore, what are we assuming here? We're assuming that during this the reign of the four Malchei Yehuda, who correspond to the end of the existence of the Malchei Yisrael, right? This is up until these are the years leading up to the point where we're ultimately going to have the 10 tribes go into exile. At that point, there are at least four different major Nevi'im, four Nevi'im that all got into the canon of Tanakh that were giving Nevuah simultaneously.
Years? Right.
So I thought it was around
100
something years.
Right. That's
Yeshayahu lived way before the Korban. I thought his Nevuah was shortly before the Korban.
No. Yirmiyah is shortly before the Korban. Right. But no. That's why, again, we're actually going to discuss, you'll see Yeshayah a little bit tonight. But that's why the tone of Yeshayah, at least the second half of the book, is radically different than the tone of Yirmiyah, right? Because he's living at a different time. He's living at a time where, you know, there's still hope. By the time that we get to Yirmiyah, I mean, remember, besides writing Yirmiyah writing his own book, he also wrote this sefer known as Eicha, which is the ultimate downer, I think we could fairly say. So that's what we have here, that these Nevi'im overlap. Now, what does it mean overlap? Totally overlap? So let's look at another one of those Nevi'im, and that is the Navi Amos. The very first pasuk in Amos, when we get introduced to Amos, we hear, Divrei Amos asher haya banokdim mitekoa, asher chozal Yisrael, bimei Uziyahu melech Yehuda, bimei Yerovam ben Yoash, melech Yisrael shnotayim lifnei harash. According to what we hear about Amos, Amos gave nevuah when? Only in the time of Uziyahu. Now, if he only gave nevuah in the time of Uziyahu, and Micha, we said, gave nevuah when? From Yosam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, there was no overlap. Right? This is a problem. We said there's overlap between these four. Now, you could argue to me and say, well, it doesn't mean they're all four. That means, like, you know, they're connected one to the other, that not all four of them had to be going at exactly the same time. That is not the assumption of the Rishonim. The assumption of the Rishonim is that somehow or another we're going to have to make this work. Because on the one hand, we have Micha starting at the time of Yosam, and we have Amos only speaking in the time of Uziyahu. Now, we're talking about a lot of time here. Right? From the beginning of Uziyahu to the end of Chizkiyahu is how many years? So we gave you the numbers on the side. But I would suggest that if we added 29, 16, 16, and 52, right, that would be 32 and 29 would give me 61, 113. That's a lot of time. So if one of them's giving Nevuah at the beginning and the other one's giving Nevuah at the end, it's like turning around and saying that, you know, we're living in the same times as the Chafetz Chaim. Right? It's not actually, right? It's getting up and saying that, you know, Alex Rodriguez and Babe Ruth played baseball at the same time. Right? It's you're dealing with too big of a time period for the Gemara to be able to say, yes, we all did it at once, and for them not to actually be overlapping. The Rishonim. It would be, I'd say, 1800 years. You know, which is a pretty long time to leave the milk outside the fridge, as we say. That's a really long time. So, Rashi sort of comments on it. If you look at Rashi, there is a Hagah within Rashi, right? This isn't in the actual commentary, but it gets put in parentheses into the commentary, with where somebody writes, Masasi kan hagami Lashon Rabbeinu. I found something that I think Rashi wrote. It says, Arba Nevi'im kulo ksivahu bimei Uziyahu. Every one of them, if you look at, we didn't see Yeshayo, but it does say it there. We saw Amos, right? We mentioned Hosea. They all mentioned Uziyahu. Except for Bar mi Micha. Micha does not say Uziyahu. Iksibo yibei Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu. It gives through the three later ones, but it never mentioned the Uba Amos Lokasiv Ella Uziyahu. So Micha was not in Uziyahu, and Amos was only in Uziyahu. How do we say it together? Mia Micha biyamav Nisnabe El Shavar Nisnaga. So that's the footnotes on the chart. The story between Uziyahu and Yosam was a very interesting one. Uziyahu, at one point in his very long rule, got leprosy. And because of the leprosy, he had to step down. Why would he have to step down because of leprosy? It was Tsoras.
But you have to go Mechutz L'Malchut.
Well, again, what's the Machaneh? Again, well, there's no, they were out of the Midbar. So he had to leave Yerushalayim. Right? He had to leave the walled city of Jerusalem. Once he was out of the walled city of Jerusalem, so he was technically still the king because he was alive. What? So for the red heifer only works for someone who's tamei meis, only somebody who's become ritually impure through a dead body, right? In order to get to get rid of tzaras, but tzaras happens to be one of the we're on a streak now of whatever happened to nowadays. We've been doing the last few weeks of that. We haven't done tzaras. That's an obvious one that's been missing from the set. I was tempted to do it in Baal Oscha. We did the Chatzotros in Baal Oscha. That would have been an in. Some people will find an excuse to fill that one in. But the bottom line is, when they had the ability to undo Tsaras, right? So one is, it, on its own, it has to go away. And once it goes away, then there is a process that we read about at the beginning of Parshas Metzora, where you take a bird and you dip it in some blood and you let it fly, do some sprinkling, it becomes all better. But he never got better. And therefore his son took over. The Gemara and Sukkot tell us that Yotam was a great tzaddik. Right? The Yotam, the whole time that he was running there, he was always very clear to people that I am not the king, but my father is actually the king. So there's a point in history where Yotam is practically the king, right? He's sitting in the palace. He's making the decisions. He's acting like the king. But technically, his father is still the king. Now, does that mean that Uzziahu lived more than 52 years? Right? Who are we counting when we say one was the king for 52 and the other was the king for 16? How do those numbers get counted? That's... Well, they're separate. I mean, the numbers, they are consecutive, correct. But the question is, you know, did this happen at the end of the 52 or did this happen at the beginning of the 16? So that's a good question. It's a matter of debate. But one way or the other, there definitely was some overlap. So what the Hagos Rashi is suggesting is that Micha, in fact, was the king, was a Navi at that point. So even though it says that he was only the Navi in the times of Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu, right? The Yotam years were actually some Uzziahu years. So these same years that there was overlap between Amos and Micha, but for Amos we call it Uzziahu, and for Micha we call it Yotam. But still, when the Gemara says there is overlap, yes, there absolutely was overlap at that time. So in fact, even though, according to this Rashi, even though it says that Micha was the king during three kings of Yehuda, truth be told, it was actually four. And it just doesn't get counted that way. Now that's interesting because once I have that piece of information, it gives me an idea of how long his career as a Navi would be. What is the minimum amount of time of his nevuah at this point? How many years? 39. Why do you say 39? Correct. Right. It's got to be over 32. But it's got, because we know it, but we know it's the complete 32, right? Well, because if he was already the king, if you're really Navi in the time of Uzziahu, that's the dead minimum, correct. That is, but I know it's at least 32 years, right? Now, again, we get a little bit of an idea of how far into Chizkiyahu he goes, based on what he says, right? But we know that this is a relatively long period of time, right? To be a Navi for even 32 years and 2 days, right? And, you know, that's the bare minimum. But once I know that he was at the time of Uzziahu, right, because that doubled the minimum, pretty much. Because once, if it was only Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu, it was at least 16, now it's at least 32 because of that. So that is the opinion of the Hagos Rashi. So he says, you get an idea of the order he tries to put it together. Tosfos there is bothered by the same question and basically gives the same answer. Said, that all four of the Nevi'im gave Nevuah during the time of Uzziah. Now, if you look at Micha, it doesn't say that. Since he says that it was done at the time of Yotam, it must have been at the beginning. Not sure why he has to assume that. Do we assume that the Chizkiyahu was also the end? Because that would, in fact, make it very long, right? If you tell me that it was the entire Chizkiyahu, that's at least 61 years. So that's a little unclear, but Rashi and Tosfos both agree that his time began in the time of Uzziah and ran through up until, and perhaps including, right, the time of Chizkiyahu. It's probably 2 years. So, but yeah, that doesn't really, he doesn't have to be there the whole time he's a Metzara. Right? I could hear the argument that it wouldn't be more than that. Right? Because this, of course, once we're able to pretty much nail down when Micha lived, I can begin to tell you, I can't tell you much about who Micha is. I can tell you a little bit more about who Micha isn't. Because there are other Michas that are floating around Tanakh. In fact, there are about a dozen Michas in Tanakh. Just going through the better known ones, right? The first Micha we have that is probably the best known one, not for the best reason, is Micha from Shoftim of Pesel Micha for fame, right? There was a fellow out there named Micha from Shevet Dan, and he went and built a house of Avodah Zarah. Very interesting story in Shoftim. Now, according to many opinions, unlike Shmuel, Malachim, Yehoshua, which are all written in chronological order, Shoftim isn't. And even though Pesel Micha appears as the second to last story in Shoftim, the truth of the matter is, according to some opinions, it's by far the first. If you look at Rashi in number 7 on the sheet, Rashi zeh Pesel Shemicha, kishakasa Moshe es Hashem, v'shlichu al hanilos halos aronu shel Yosef, v'micha v'notu behechave. Behind the ksiv Ava Bayam Tsarak, Shavira Kodosh Bachu Yisrael, Ava Micha Imam Shabiyado Hashem Rasosa Egel. That Micha, in fact, that according to the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu had to get the coffin of Yosef to take out with him. So rather what he did, according to the Medrash, is he threw in a piece of paper with the holy name on it, and he said, I'll lay sure that Yosef, B'chor Shoro Hadar Lo, right, should rise, and with that, the iron coffin rose from the Nile. It seems that Micha grabbed that piece of paper, and later on, when they were going to make the Egel Azov, he threw in this Alei Shor magic piece of paper in, and that's how the Egel came to be. And with that, he began his business of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, we know that the Micha, according to this, of Shoftim, is the same Micha that was at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means this has to be very much at the beginning of the book. So if you put that together, right, obviously these Michas are hundreds of years off, right? So obviously this is clearly not the same Micha. Interesting, in Malachim, you're going to have another Micha who's actually a Navi. At the time of Achav and Yehoshaphat, Achav we've mentioned previously, he was a pretty nasty fellow. He was married to Jezebel. They weren't a good couple at all. And However, he ends up marrying into the family of Jehoshaphat. Achav is the king of the northern kingdom. Jump to Jehoshaphat. He is the king of the southern kingdom. And eventually they become mechutanim. And at some point they're going out to war together. Jehoshaphat was a great tzaddik. Achav, very much not so. Very interesting mechutanim. So at one point, here they are, they're trying to decide what to do on as they're heading out to a battle, and they call a Navi. So if you look at number 8, it says, Vayomer Melech Yisrael Yehoshaphat, Od Isha Chod Lidrosh Es Hashem Eito Vanis Nesiv Ki Lo Yisnabe Olai Tov Ki Imra Michayohu Ben Yimla Vayomer Yehoshaphat Al Yomer Melech Kain. He says there's one true Navi still in Shomron, and his name is Michayahu ben Yimla. And Yehoshaphat said, oh, don't say that. He likes you. He's a nice guy. You guys really get along. You'll be bestest buddies. Is it possible that that Micha, who we know who was a Navi in Shomron, is the same Micha who is the Navi now? So the answer is no, because Yehoshaphat is not one of the four kings. Yehoshaphat by far predates those kings. So therefore we know that there are two different Navis named Micha running around, and the one that appears in Malachim is not the one that appears in Treyasar. Unlike Rei Ovadia, we said the Rei Ovadia from Malachim is the same Ovadia that appears in Treyasar, according to the Gemara. That's not the truth of the Micha. So therefore, this Micha, whose last name we don't have, and we don't really have a tradition what Shevet he's even from, but he's totally different than the other ones as well. We mentioned that Micha is one of four Nevi'im, and among the scholarship, there is a much written about the relationship between Micha and Yeshaya. If you study the book of Micha and you compare it to Yeshaya, there's a fair amount of overlap in terms of style and wording. If you look at the introduction to Micha in the Das Mikra, it will put pasuk by pasuk, it will show you how many psukim there seems to be strong influence one way or the other. The introduction asks the obvious question: whenever there's influence from one to the other, you have to ask who influenced whom. So we have Hanavua Meshutefes LeYeshaya UMicha Achris Hayamim. For starters, the overall, as we'll discuss, the overall idea behind the fact that the book, right, the first half of Micha, is very much Musa related. It's strong rebuke against the Jewish people. And then the second half of the book is a very positive part. And it talks about what's going to be in the end of days. That is a direct parallel to Yeshaya, right? The first 40 prakim or so in Yeshaya, right, are very much downers. Then you reach Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. And the last prakim in Yeshaya are the key prakim, the key chapters that we have in terms of understanding what's going to be at the end of the days. So the overall feel is very much the same, right? And if you look on a more micro level, many of the pesukim are similar. So we say here that just like talking about Achris Yamim, one of the Yadua Lakol, it's obvious to all that these are very similar books. Who got it from whom? Yeshayahu mimicha, Hatzaria mimenu, Moshe mistaba Yoser, Micha miYeshayahu agadol mimenu. Right, Micha is clearly younger than Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu started earlier. Right? He started earlier in the time of Uzziahu, years beforehand. So he points that what would seem to be the case is that Yeshayahu was some sort of mentor, some sort of Rebbe to Micha. That Yeshayahu was the more major Navi. And in fact, if you look at the Nevi'im, obviously it's more major. So it's a lot bigger for sure. right? And therefore, Micha was a student, a very good student, a student who accomplished on his own. But that is probably where we're at. Very interesting. The next source is an odd one I decided to put down. But I happen to see an interesting point there. And it points out that you get the idea very much so that that Micha, again, we don't know a lot about him, but he's more of the everyman. They bring three proofs to this. He said, he was sort of a lower person. Harisham, who omis arav kal binyanim medinos. Yeshayo goes and he talks to Chizkiyo HaMelech, right? He walks in, he's talking to, right? Yirmiyo is talking to the king, right? He's going, he's delivering the message of God. Micha never goes talks to anybody important. He just goes out and speaks to the people. That is who he is. But he doesn't get involved in politics. He doesn't go and try to change the ideas or the actions of kings. This is, of course, different than the Nevi'im that were at the same time. Were in fact not just talking to the Hamon Am, they were talking to the leaders. Whenever he refers to the nation, he refers to Ami, my nation. Very much saying that he is part of what of the people he's talking to. He never speaks out against the people, never speaks down to them, as was also common at that time. Dugmas aniyim or avyonim become eshel hasik shu atzmo chay beker of my mitzvah. You get the idea that he's part of the group. Shishishim aviv lo nizkar. The fact that we never even mention like who's his father, there doesn't seem to be any yichus here. He doesn't seem to have anything behind him in terms of like he comes from an important family, right? Yishar ben Amotz. Amotz was a man unto himself. So for all of these reasons, you get the idea that Micha was you know, the everyman. He was a Navi, but he wasn't a Navi, he wasn't Navi to the stars. While you might get that idea, there is at least one part of Micha which would definitely point not that way. Micha has a very interesting claim to fame. If you look at the pasuk in number 11, there is a nevuah where he says, "Lachain, b'glachem tzion sada techaresh v'yushalayim iyin tiyeh v'har habayis l'bamos ya'ar." He says this is earlier on when he's being very negative. He says that the Temple Mount is going to be plowed over. And Jerusalem is going to be in ruins. And the Harabias is just going to be for the animals of the forest. This is the pasuk that's famously the discussion with Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Yirmiyah quotes Micha. This is the only case in the entire Nach where one Navi quotes another. That the words of Navi, of Micha, were so powerful that Yirmiyahu found it necessary, that which he didn't get. Yeshayo was before him, right? Basically, the entire Treyasar were before him. Not all, the Chagiz Harmach were afterwards. But if you look at Yirmiyah, in the right, it says, Micha Morashti, Hayaniba Bimei Yechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Vayema El Kol Ha'am Yehuda Lemor. So even though we don't see Micha as, you know, the greatest of the Nevi'im, it's interesting to note that Yirmiyahu obviously held him in a certain very high esteem if he felt it necessary not only to say over his words, but to quote him by name. You get an idea there of the fact that, you know, on the one hand, he was the everyman. On the other hand, that there's very much that we can gain from it. I give you here just a little bit of the overview of Micha. Micha is seven prakim long. Again, we'll go with the living Nach, gives nice introductions. Most of the book of Micha deals with admonishing Israel and its leaders for their corruption and deterioration of moral standards. Micha is the first prophet to predict the destruction of Jerusalem, as we saw. He also sees the Israelites will be exiled to Babylonia. Micha grieves over having to be a prophet in a generation where righteous people are so scarce, and as the prophets before him, he describes that it will take place in the Messianic era. He does not remain angry forever because he is a lover of kindness. He will once again have mercy on us. He will vanquish our iniquities and cast our sins into the depths of the sea. So that's the idea. You have the split here. You have the first half of Micha, which is very negative. And then afterwards, you have the very positive. The end of last week's Haftarah, we'll just read it over again because the ending was very important. First, you get the idea as to how it ended up to be the Haftarah for Parshas Balak. It says, Ami zecharna mayatz Balak melech Moab, u'me'ana oso bilam ben ba'or min ha'shitim ha'gilo mandas tzidkos Adonai. He says, listen, don't be down on God. Remember, you were in big trouble. Remember, Balak went to get Bilam, and remember what Hashem did for you there? Ba'ma'a kadeima Hashem. The way you think God wants your karbanos, that's what he's asking you. What do you think God wants from you? Rather, let me tell you what you need. What's all what God wants for you? Kim asos mishpat ba'avas chesed va'atznei rechas im alkecha. All what God wants from you is do justice, love chesed, and walk in a humble manner. That's all what God asks from you. Be good people. The Gemara in Makos famously says that this was Micha's ability to take all 613 mitzvahs and to sum them up as only three. The Gemara says, this is the famous Gemara which tells us how many mitzvahs there are. Dorash Rav Simoi, Sheish Meos Vishloshasrei Mitzvos Nemar Lo Moshe. Moshe was given 613 mitzvahs. Shlosh Meos Vishishim Vechamesh Rabim Kaminyan Yimos HaChama. 365 negative commandments like days of the solar year. Every day you can do a different Davera. U'masayim V'arbim Vishmodak Asei Keneged Evar Shal Adam. And 248 positive commandments relate to the 248 limbs that a person has. Rav Hamnuna, Mikra Torah, Tziva Lado Moshe, Marasha. Where do you know this from? It says that Hashem gave Torah to Moshe, his inheritance. Torah, Bigamatria, Shismeya Vachadsre Havi. Where Torah has a Gematria of 611. Anochi Vol Yelachami Pik Vuar Shamun. Said that in fact, that was 611 that we heard from Moshe. God gave us two other ones, higher mathematics, 611 plus 2, 613. But then the Torah says, if you're really good, you can make it into a smaller number. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get, that David Amel was able to get it down to 11. And then it says, B'michon v'hin midim al shalosh. Micha says, you can do them all if you just have three basic. There are three basic character traits. Diksim, Higil Chadam Matov Mashem Daresh Mimchor Ki Masos Mishpat Vavas Chesvat Sein Rechas Im Nan Hashem Elokecha. Asos Mishpat Zadin. What's Asos Mishpat? It means that you should in fact judge people. There should be justice in there. That in fact that the righteous, that the people that do wrong should be judged, and in fact society should run properly. Avas Chesed Zegniyas Chasodim. Then beyond that, we should go beyond the letter of the law. We should be giving people, but and also help people out when they're in their need. So that is the message of Micha. Even though this is a well-known part of Micha, it is not the best-known part of Micha. The best-known part of Micha is the very end of Micha. These are psukim that we should be familiar with from three different places, I would say. Mikel Kamocha no se avon vovar al pesh l'sheis nacho so lohechzik vad apol ki chavitz chesedu. Tashlich is one place. This is the entirety of Tashlich, right? Yosher rachamein yichbos v'sein v'sashlich the Mitzulas Yom Kol Chadasam. This is why it's called Tashlich. Titim Emes Yaakov Chesed LeAvram Hashem Yishmat LeAvosinu MiMeikedem. So this is well known from three places. One is Tashlich, correct? Anybody else? Two others? Shabbos Shuvah, correct? And Shabbos Shuvah, this is part of the Haftarah. And one other, and Devorah, you should know what's the third one? Yom Kippur Mincha, correct? These are the pesukim that we read after Yonah, right? So what? Right. So again, this is a very positive ending towards the book. It says that who are like you, God, who is willing to look past our sins, because you in fact want to be merciful. But you want to show your loving kindness. Please, will you turn around and have mercy upon us, that you should in fact cover over our sins and throw away into the sea all of our iniquities. You gave truth to Yaakov. You gave chesed to Abraham as you promised to them. So basically, with the Micha says, God, we don't deserve it, but you have the ability to look past it. That's what we're praying for. And that's why we do it in all these cases. That's why at Shabbos Shuvah, this is one of the Nevi'im that we read in the Haftarah. At the very end of Yonah, just like God forgave the people of Nineveh, he should forgive us. And Tashlich, the Sashlich Mitzulas Loyom, that we are praying that God should throw away our sins into the water, that we do not have them anymore. So that is the Navi of Micha. Navi of Micha is not very well known. But again, there are definitely very important parts to learn from it. And this idea that Micha is the only Navi that other Nevi'im felt necessary to quote gives you an idea that even though he himself as an individual may not have been some sort of great leader, what he had to say was undoubtedly important. Thank you.